Hey Ben, you read comic books, right?
I've been known to read a couple here and there.
Yeah, but, do you find it hard to keep up with all the comics out there?
Do I? I have kids, Dave. You know how often they expect you to feed them?
What? Wait, feed them? I've been doing something wrong then.
I mean, you'd think they could fend for themselves. There's animals out there.
I put a bowl of kibble and some newspaper down. I thought that's all I had to do.
Well, apparently not.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man. I'm going to get in trouble. And you know what? There's all these great new comics that come out all the time, and I don't know where to jump in.
Yeah, I don't know who the hell all these new characters are. It's just too much to keep up with.
Well, luckily, Luis Cabral took care of this issue for us.
I love this man already. Tell me
Yes.
more.
He started a great podcast called Recap. And in this podcast, every week, he recaps the previous issues of all the comics coming out that week.
Awesome. That is,
Exactly.
that could
So,
save so much time.
yes. So, if you're like Ben and I, and you love saving time, and you love comic books, well, then you should head on over to clockworkl.ca/recap and listen to that podcast right now.
What am I doing here?
I don't know. You get out there. Go, quick.
Hey Dave, you know what's not a time saver?
What?
Trying to feed your children and give them a bath at the same time.
Oh, jeez. You know what? I tell you what. Just again, newspaper on the floor, bowl of kibble, put on your iTunes and listen to recap.
I'll give it a try.
All right then.
Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event, able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak. I'm your host, Dave.
And Ben.
And John.
There's always a long pause before John says his name. So anyway.
He has to remember it first.
It's the satellite link up, you know? I mean, geez.
Always blaming the satellites.
Yeah, he's trying to bounce the signal around the sun.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be doing things a little differently this week. And we're going to be giving you
Yes, we're
the
actually going to be good.
No, that's not going to
We're
happen. We're
letting
going to
John
give you
host.
the first ever superhero speech
You know there was no echo effect there.
debate. I know, but I can add it and post edit. So
I guess that's true.
Are you going to echo post edit too?
Yes, and all of this for the
As
rest
a
of the
matter of fact,
episode.
this whole intro will be echo except for the part that he wanted to be echo.
Yes.
Excellent.
So
That's
yes,
about right.
in the news lately, there's been a lot of news around Marvel, specifically in their Marvel Studios, and some people are claiming the sky has fallen and Marvel's becoming evil. So Ben had this great idea that we were going to debate it on tonight's episode,
We'll see how good my idea is after we get through it.
and he said I would moderate, he would take the pro side for Marvel. And John will take the con side for Marvel. And I believe the only reason he did that, suggested that, is so that I would talk less and John would talk more.
He's on to us, John. All right. So how do we want to start this off,
Well, before we
Mr.
get to the
Moderator?
debate, wait, calm,
All
hold your horses. We have some podcast business to get to. We got a business we gotta do. All right.
Yes.
So the first thing I would like to announce. Ben knows about this already. John doesn't. We on clockworkl.ca, we were named among the top 20 comic book podcasts.
So obviously it was rigged.
Well, you have to read the subtext there. We're only big in Canada.
Yes. No, but come on. It's nice to be recognized by your peers.
Yes, it is.
So.
I was surprised to find out there were 20 comic book related podcasts, but that's just me.
Yes.
I'm
I
surprised your
don't listen to
podcast
any
makes it all the way to Canada.
of them. Hey, we have listeners in England.
We even have some mail order listeners over in the Southeast Asian area, I believe.
Yes, but they have to wait months before they get to hear the podcast.
You know, that's only because of the bronies, right?
Of course. Of course.
So
They're big
on the
fans of bronies in Southeast Asia.
And for those who don't remember, we talked a while ago about their podcast, which is called Recap, where they recap different comic books that are coming out for that week. They just give you a recap of the previous issue for whatever book coming out that week. And it's a great comic. I mean, great comic. It's a great podcast. It's a great time saver if you haven't been kept up on your books. And yeah, so check them out and check out that list of the top 20 comic book podcasts. Also, if you're a fan of another comic book podcast called Real Books Don't Have Batman, you may have noticed they have a new intro. Ben knows something about this.
I heard something about it. Some rumbling somewhere.
Some rumbling.
Some weird dudes hijacking the intro.
Yes. They asked us to do the new intro for them. So if you're listening to us because
we apologize.
Because you heard us on Real Books Don't Have Batman, welcome. And if you haven't listened to Real Books Don't Have Batman yet, go check him out. We love Frank. He's like the fifth Beatle.
Yes. As soon as I start listening to it, that'll make the second comic book related podcast I listen to.
Wait, what's the first?
Nerdist.
Oh, okay. So, I wonder if anyone got the subtext there. So, and the last thing before we start the debate, we are starting a new segment on Superhero Speak. And it is called Stump the Geek.
Which one of us is the geek now? I haven't bit the head off a chicken in ages.
Oh, okay, good.
Okay.
So, here's how this is going to work, boys and girls.
I know it. I got it.
Every week, I will ask a trivia question.
And then there will be dead silence for at least two whole minutes.
If you believe you know the answer to this question, then go to our Facebook page and write the answer in, or tweet us and use the hashtag StumpTheGeekSpeak. We will also tweet the question out and post it on the Facebook, and it'll be in the description of the episode each week. And for everyone who answers and gets the correct answer, we will tally them all up, and we will randomly pick a winner for next week. We will then give you the answer to the question, reveal the winner, and then ask another question. It's audience participation, people. It's a good thing.
Can you explain it again? No, so what's the question this week?
The question this week, since this is a Marvel-related podcast, the question is, who is the first major character to find death or to die in a Marvel comic book? I know what you're thinking, but...
I was thinking about pudding, actually.
The answer is not pudding.
It will be someday.
And I will tell everyone who's listening
that I will avenge that pudding.
I will tell everyone who's listening that it's not a timely comic. It is a Marvel comic. I want to make that clear so that there's no guffaw about that later on. So,
are we allowed to guess without you telling us whether we're right or not?
Okay, sure.
I didn't say how to guess. I just
said that. Oh, okay, okay.
John, do you have a guess?
I was going to guess pudding too, so you know.
Okay. My only other guess is Bucky Barnes.
Nah.
You know nobody permanently dies. Anyway.
Yes, that's why it's a trick question, but anyway.
No, and anyway, when Bucky supposedly died, well, I mean, that was recon, but...
Retcon,
sorry. But when he supposedly died, they were still timely comics, so... So you were wrong. Okay. It's not Bucky. All right. Are you gentlemen ready?
Oh, not in the slightest.
Sure. What are we doing again?
Blue corner. Weighing in at... Oh, wait. I'm sorry.
It's not Bucky. We don't give out our weights on the podcast.
Okay. In the blue corner, sporting a trendy beard and glasses, we have Ben.
I was going to say that's both of us, but, you know.
You don't have a beard.
That you know of.
And in the pink corner.
It's a stealth beard.
And in the pink corner, with his curly hair and his pony love, we have John. All right, I'm gonna lay some ground rules down, guys. I will ask a question or give you a talking point. Person A will give their answer. Then person B will give a chance to give a rebuttal. Please don't interrupt either person when they're talking. But when you talk, name calling is encouraged.
I reject the notion of being referred to as person A.
And here we go. So, The topic this week is Marvel becoming evil. So, in recent events, it has been announced... I'm sorry?
Continue.
Is Marvel becoming evil? That's the overall arching topic. And here's the first talking
point. I'm in question. Talking point. Go forward.
The first talking point.
I'll stop interrupting you now.
You're not supposed to interrupt me. Oh, wait. Hold on. I didn't say you're going to interrupt me. That's their idea. So anyway, it recently has been announced that Marvel is planning to cancel the Fantastic Four. And many believe this is being done to undermine the Fantastic Four movie that is currently in production. Do you believe this is true? We will start, since Ben suggested this experiment, I'm going to start with John.
I believe it's true? Well, I guess the real question would be, do I want to believe it's true? So I would say yes. I believe it's true because so far they are losing so much money on having Spider-Man in one area, the Fantastic Four in another, and everybody else under the Marvel banner that it would be a corporate thing to do and a Disney thing to do to cancel something just to get it out of the hands of somebody else so they could make money off of it. No matter what the circumstances, or who it hurts, or copyright infringement, but you know.
is that your final answer?
Yes, I think they're doing it.
Okay,
it's the mouse. Okay. It's evil.
It's the mouse is evil. Okay, your rebuttal.
My rebuttal is that first of all, there is actually no official statement from Marvel that they are canceling Fantastic Four, and actually the vice president of Marvel, Tom Brevoort, has said actually that they have no plans to cancel Fantastic Four anytime in the near future. And if they did, it would be strictly for business reasons. If the comic book was not doing well, they would discontinue it. But as long as there is popularity, as long as people are buying the book, they're going to continue printing it and they're going to continue writing it. That said, there was also a lot of speculation about this, and I believe that this to be true, that it actually would not hurt the movie in any way were they to actually try to cancel it in any form of spite. It wouldn't make any sense. The number of people that are regularly buying Fantastic Four comic book, or even in the heat of its buying spree, when it was the most popular, the number of people buying issues of Fantastic Four are a drop in the bucket compared to the number of people that will go see a movie in an opening weekend, regardless of that popularity. So I don't think that the success or failure of the comic book would have any impact on the movie, and I think that Marvel's smart enough to know that, and smart enough not to make that decision based on something like that, which would have no impact. They're not going to shoot themselves in the foot, you know, to spite something that doesn't actually impact it. So I don't believe, A, that they're canceling Fantastic Four, and B, that if they were to cancel it, that it would be for any reason to hurt Fox's success with said movie.
You do realize that they could just... where to start? The vice president says, but if they were to cancel it, well, yeah, it would have to be because of, you know, declining sales. Well, they could make sales decline pretty damn quick by bringing back all the old rogues gallery of the Fantastic Four, and maybe throw a few Spider-Man guys in there and have them just, you know, sit around complaining about how Galactus hasn't come to visit them in a while. Also, they will try to get the property back. It's a corporate thing. They will not make as much money on the Fantastic Four if they can't kind of meld it into the universe that they're creating. And
while I believe that is true, I don't believe it will impact. And first of all, they're essentially here's the way I see the extended Marvel Cinematic Universe as represented by Fox and Sony. While it is outside of Marvel's direct control and purview to what the stories are and how those stories are managed, it's basically free money for them. They're spending $0 creating or promoting these properties, and they are reaping benefits for their success. The studios are footing the bill. And actually creating these properties and taking the losses if they're not successful.
Yeah, it's but they a had win-win to reboot for Marvel. Spider-Man in they had to reboot Spider-Man just to save it, just to get it going again. And as to your comment about how it won't hurt the movie sales, the Fantastic Four movie sales, well, actually, the more people that have seen the first two Fantastic Four movies, the less people that will actually watch another Fantastic Four movie.
Right. Well, think about, here's the thing to consider with that. You look at the Marvel properties, the movie properties, and the comic book properties. In the time frame that we've seen the Marvel Cinematic Universe rise, we've seen Captain America killed in the comics and replaced and come back to life. That, by your same assertion, you would think that would be spiting their own movie franchise, and it did not. It did not have any impact. It didn't hurt it. It didn't help it. It didn't have any impact on the franchise whatsoever. We've also seen Spider-Man, you know, die, been replaced, and come back to life. And you would think that that would be, you would think they would be not trying to announce the return of the Amazing Spider-Man around a timely release of someone else's movie. Along your lines, you would think that they would delay that event in their comic book series, the return of Peter Parker, but they didn't. They kept it in play because they know that the comic book universe and the movie universe are two separate things. The influences between them are minimal. Yes, the inspiration is there for the characters, but people aren't looking for parallels. People aren't looking for these things to line up, and the how fans...
How can you say that they don't look for parallels when in the comic book universe... They literally killed Spider-Man and had him become a giant spider and give birth to himself just to give him organic web shooters to match the movies.
That happened before the movies. That happened before any of the Spider-Man movies were created.
I do believe organic... that came after the first movie.
Nope, it didn't. Because I actually remember having discussions with my friends about the precedent of organic web shooters when Spider-Man 1 with Tobey Maguire was coming out, that it was a previously existing precedent that happened in the comics under the watchful eye of it was the late 90s, you know, early 2000 era. It had to do with McFarlane's run on Spider-Man had made that change.
But how did that make sense? Why?
It had nothing to do with each other. There was no connection. That's my point. They did it in the comic books because they wanted to do it in the comic books. It had nothing to do with the upcoming movie franchise that they didn't even know was going to happen.
Ding, ding, ding. I'm not sure.
Okay, there's the end of round one. It's nice when the boys come to play. in that round, okay, I think I have to give points to Ben. And because he definitely did his homework and came ready to play. And John, you interrupted Ben. So for that, you get a dirty sock.
Okay. Wait a minute. Dirty sock.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a dirty sock. Oh, wait. No.
Along the same lines of the comic books affecting the movies, but I think I already know what the answer is going to be on this. So we'll keep this one short. We all know... Yes, so it's not confirmed that they're canceling the Fantastic Four, but we know for a fact they're killing off Wolverine in the comic books. They're finally doing it.
Yes.
Death. Permanent. Oh, wait. But the death. And many believe this, again, is being done so that people will say, oh, well, then you have to kill him off in the movies and stop making the movies. So we'll let Ben start this time.
Okay. I believe that this is, first of all, not maliciously aligned whatsoever. As I stated in the previous point, are they killing him off? Yes. Will he be dead forever? Probably not. We've seen so many characters in the Marvel Universe killed and come back to life, usually within a year. And we know for a fact that, yes, there, we did just have a Wolverine movie last summer. We just saw Wolverine in X-Men Days of Future Past just now. They didn't kill off Wolverine in the comics in time to hurt that in any way, even though we know from the previous point that it wouldn't have hurt it anyway. And most likely by the time they have the next Wolverine movie slated to go, they'll have resurrected him in the comics. So are they killing him off? Sure. Will it impact the movies? Not at all. Is it at all motivated in a way to hurt the movies? I doubt it.
Do you have a rebuttal, John?
For killing Wolverine? It Comics Alliance, the headline is they're killing Wolverine, the most likable character in the Marvel Universe. Right there, the only reason for this is to gin up more more talk for the movies. That's the only reason they're doing it. Marvel keeps doing this. Oh, we're going to kill Peter Parker. Oh, he's still alive. Oh, we're going to kill Wolverine. Oh, he's come back from another parallel universe. You know, there's a reason why they promote the multiverse so much in the Marvel universe. It's because they can do these one-offs of, oh, we're going to finally get rid of this one main character or this group and they'll never be again. But buy these 15 comics. And if you put all of their, you know, their covers together, they form Voltron. And then they bring them back a couple of months later. Oh, it's just, they were too popular and we had to bring them back. It was the fans. You loved them so much. Oh, you spent $15 per comic for all the different stuff last time. Oh, well, we're sorry. You know, make sure you collect the next time we decide to kill them off. So they're playing it too much. They just did this with Peter Parker and Spider-Man. Why would they do that now with Wolverine?
Because they can. And also, I have to contend that if you're using a source that says Wolverine is the most beloved character or most likable character in the Marvel Universe, I question your sources, because he is far from cuddly. You know, he is bristly, both physically and verbally, and always has been a very bristly character, and in no way is a very, he's likable, he's appreciable by the comic book fan base in that he's relatable, but likable in a way that the character is actually someone that you can get along with? Not at all. And again, I see your point. I'm not necessarily a huge fan of the, you know, killing off a character for publicity and then just retconning it, you know, a year later. I'm not a huge fan of it, but at the same time, it is what it is, and it works. You know, people read into it. They state their opinions about it. Some people love it. Some people hate it. And in the end, Marvel makes money, and they are a business. Yes, there is art in it, but it's also a business.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You know that he's coming back as Mecha Wolverine. Dave goes off on us.
Sorry,
I thought he was coming back as Cable.
Yeah.
I fell asleep, and all I heard was you say Wolverine and has been in the same sentence. So did you call Wolverine a has been? So, you know, for that, I have to give the points to John.
Fair enough.
Okay. So, all right. So I understand. Yes. The comic book sales really I don't think the comic book sales really affect the movies at this point. And I don't think the movies affect the comic book sales, sadly. But there is one thing that does majorly tie in, and that's toy sales. We all know that these movies make buku bucks and the toy companies make buku bucks off of the toys related to the movies. And Rob Liefeld, who is a Marvel insider, recently came out and was, you know, tweeting about all of this, and a lot of articles have been written about it, that you notice there isn't a lot of movie tie-in toys for Amazing Spider-Man 2 or Days of Future Past, because Marvel's kind of putting the kibosh on doing that. So that's a pretty big move, because that's money that Marvel could be making hand over fist. So but this is for you guys to decide. So, John.
Okay.
Well, what's my point of view? I mean, that's blatant.
You're still con Marvel. So,
yeah. So
I know, but I mean, it's so blatant. It's not even a challenge. I mean, yeah. Okay.
I'm up to my end of the challenge.
All right. Fine.
So your answer is blatant.
It's blatant. They're cutting off the, yeah, Marvel could make money off of them, and yet they still are banning this or stopping the sales of any toy lines for those movies. I mean, come on, what other reason could there possibly be? I mean, this is something even My Little Pony gets right, for crying out loud. You sell stuff. I mean, you look at just about any cartoon, and the whole point of any cartoon is to sell toys, and the second they stop selling merchandise, they're gone. And, you know, the same thing with the movies. One of the biggest money makers out of movies is tie-ins. It's posters and socks and toys and you name it, you know, freaking toilet seats with Wolverine's face on it. I mean, come on. So there is no reason whatsoever, no reason whatsoever that they are not selling stuff except to hurt those properties in order to get them back.
So, Ben, are you missing your toilet seats with Wolverine's face on them?
Anything. I don't think Wolverine and toilet seats have a great combination. I really don't want adamantium spikes popping into my ass. But that aside.
That's a feature.
My contention here is that, first of all, I don't know that it's guaranteed that tie-in toys actually get any money back to the studios that created those properties. Maybe they do. I'm not sure on the logistics of that. That aside, there are other reasons why Marvel may choose not to market tie-in toys to these movies that are outside of their production. And first and foremost among them, which I can understand in the context of X-Men Days of Future Past, and potentially as well with the previous one, First Class, is that these movies were not marketed or directed towards a young audience. They were not directed towards an audience of toy buyers. They were directed towards a more mature audience. These were rated PG-13. They had more mature subject matters than any of the Marvel Cinematic Universe titles had on their own. They were not directed towards kids. They had more, you know, subjective content in them and suggestive content in them that makes them not as kid appropriate. And I can perfectly see Marvel coming to the decision of not making tie-in toys, not spending the money to make merchandising that A is going to be directed to an audience that isn't necessarily going to buy them because they may not be familiar with the works or those particular versions of the characters. It would be a money losing scenario for them. They could put more money into the toys than they would actually get back out of them. With the Amazing Spider-Man 2 toys, I can't necessarily say it's the same motivation per se. Though we'd both know that while it was a box office success, it wasn't a great movie. And while kids might have enjoyed it, you know, they can perfectly well go out and buy plenty of Spider-Man toys without them having to be specifically Amazing Spider-Man 2 toys. There really wasn't anything that in there except maybe the weird Mecha Rhino and creepy Goblin that they could have made that would have tied into it that they couldn't already get through the traditional toy lines.
All I know is I want a tiny Jamie Foxx to play with.
You may be the only person.
Oh, man. Just to wrap up on this real quick. This is something I know a little bit about because I remember reading this stuff before. The comic book company gets the licensing fee for the character. And then the movie company gets a percentage of the toy sales and whatever kind of contract they work out with the actor whose likeness they use. Because if they make a Peter Parker action figure for the comic book, they can just use a generic looking guy with brown hair. If they make a Tobey Maguire Peter Parker, they make it look like Tobey Maguire. And I know this because of what happened with the original Batman movie, the 89 Batman movie, is Jack Nicholson said, "Oh, I don't want to get paid. Just give me the back end on the toys with my likeness on the Joker." And he made more than any other actor in that movie.
Nice.
So yes. So since you didn't know, Ben,
I'll take the demerits.
I'm going to have to give myself the points because I came up with the facts.
Yeah. I was going to say,
this is a well-established debate format.
Yes.
Yes.
So the moderator has points now.
So, we'll get to our we're gonna we're only a half hour in. I was gonna say we'll combine our last 2 points, but they're related. They're very much related. And that is that now going forward, you know, there's internal strife. There seems to be at Marvel, and that being that the Drew Goddard, who was the showrunner for the Daredevil television show, left. And shortly after that, we heard news that Edgar Wright walked away from Ant-Man. So that was big news in the geek universe because Edgar Wright has been attached to this movie since 2009 and everyone loves Edgar Wright and everyone wanted to see him make this movie. And then he walks away and, you know, I hope you guys have read up on this. So Ben. Do you think Marvel has become so hard to work for that people are just walking away from them, or do you think it's completely unrelated?
I think, well, first of all, I think the two stories probably have different back ends to the stories that we're not fully aware of. In the case of Drew Goddard's exit of Daredevil in favor of doing the Sinister Six movie, I would say that he probably is getting a much bigger paycheck for the Sinister Six movie than he would for a Netflix TV show. And so I think that's probably a bigger motivator than anything to do with the actual politics with Marvel directly. I have not gotten any evidence that there's any bad blood or difficulty with Marvel in any of their forms of their cinematic universe, and I doubt that he left for reasons related to problems there. I think it was really more a financial choice to attach himself to something that A, gets him a higher degree of notoriety, and B, is involved in a film that can make significantly more be more profitable. On the topic of the Ant-Man director, that was surprising, I think, to all of us that happened, because it had been sort of his baby for years. And they apparently bounced through a couple other potential actor or directors before the latest that I'd heard on it is that Peyton Reed is going to be the new director. They'd also spoke to Adam McKay, which, whether that's significant or not, is to be seen. But what that does, that what the similarities I do see there is what at least the first two of those directors, and I believe Peyton Reed also fits within as far as their directing career, is they've directed very comedic pieces. You know, Edgar Wright obviously did the Coronado trilogy, you know, with Shaun of the Dead and his other movies that starred his friends, including Simon Pegg. And so while there was action, there was also comedy. There were action comedies. And Adam McKay co-wrote the script for Anchorman. So again, a high-profile comedy. Peyton Reed, I would have to look into his background a little bit more, but I believe I had previously noted that he also was involved in comedic things. So I think that there's probably definitely they're angling for someone who has a comedic vein to direct this movie, to keep it funny, the same way that there was humor in Iron Man and various other titles. Maybe that's, I don't know if there was a falling out because of that, if Edgar Wright was trying to steer away from that comedic typecasting, I guess, and was looking to be more action and superhero-esque, and that could have been where things fell apart. I don't know. That's speculation. But I think it was probably more personal choice than it was Marvel, you know, sullying the mix.
John, your rebuttal?
My rebuttal is two words. Donner cut.
They didn't even film anything yet, John.
Think of... well, yeah, but...
We need a little bit more than that. This is an hour-long podcast. Come on.
Sure. For those of you who don't get it, you know, it was... same thing happened with the Superman movies. They got rid of Donner because he was too... they thought he was being too serious with the superhero movie, and they brought in somebody who I refuse to remember the name of, who finished it up and added stuff like pies to the face and all Lester, other crap.
Yeah. It was Richard Lester.
So basically they took a movie that would have been, that actually would have been cool even now, and toned it down and added all this humor for no other reason than for, I don't know, the sake of slapstick. Well, there's humor. You can be humor and be dark. You know, I mean, Joss Whedon, you know, you got Buffy and Angel. There was plenty of humor there. And yet there were times when you were sitting there crying or scared. So
there are also times when you were sitting there in the suspense, in the edge of suspense, and then he made you laugh.
Yep. Yep. So, but, you know, it's a fine line. And maybe Marvel wants a little bit more humor. I mean, you got to admit, okay, they've been doing okay with the movies, but some of the humor was a little, you know, off, and it just, you know, it's like right in the middle of a battle. Come on, guys, you know, you're going to get shot in the head. Do something. So, you know, maybe it might have been just because he wanted to make a more serious movie, and with a hero named Ant-Man, I think you want to offset that with a little seriousness and not add too much humor into it. So it was, and it's known that they were he left because of creative differences, not because of financial whatever. It was definitely
due to creative differences. That's true.
So you know, that's all I have to say about that. I can't really argue much more about that. It just sounds like he wanted to make a more serious version, and Marvel is looking to keep it light.
Right, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad move on Marvel's part. I mean, if we look at what we've talked about over the course of the past year and the various movies we've reviewed and the underlying tones of where we've allied ourselves as far as what movies were the good superhero movies and which ones are the bad ones, and really the underlying theme of what made the better ones better is humor, is lightness, is being able to hit that tone without it seeming cheesy, without it looking like Schumacher Batman movies, but and also keeping that, you know, action tone without making it too much of a quote-unquote superhero movie. And I think that that's the tone that they're looking to replicate, because it's worked well for them in all the movies they've created so far. And apparently there was some steering that Edgar wasn't happy with, and he made that choice. That's completely within his wheelhouse to make that choice. I don't necessarily mean that vilifies Marvel and or Disney in pushing creative direction in a certain way.
You know, I wanted to...
I'll give that...
Go ahead. I have to let you finish. Go ahead.
I'll give to Ben that, yes, they've been doing fairly well with the balance of humor and such, but then again, we're talking about a movie that isn't being directed by Joss Whedon. And some of the, there wasn't much humor in the, there's a little humor in Thor, but not as much as like they tried to put into, say, Iron Man 2. And look at what happened with that.
Yes. The Iron Man 2 is,
go ahead.
I was going to say, Iron Man 2 is definitely an example of where they steered a little bit too far in the wrong direction. I don't think it was all about the injection of humor. I think it was that the story was a little off and a little poorly represented on the screen. But, you know, when you invoked the Whedon, you know, he has directed and influenced a sum total of one movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Every other movie so far has been directed by other people, with, you know, some, you know, a couple of the Iron Man movies by Jon Favreau, and the original Thor was directed by a guy whose name I get, Kenneth Branagh. And there's been a couple different people. And I say the second Thor had plenty of humor, maybe not that a lot from Thor, but there was a lot from Loki and from the supporting cast. And it was well written and well executed. And that, again, that was not a Joss Whedon movie, and I doubt he had heavy influence on it because he was rather busy working on other things. so I would say that he's not the only one who can master that balance. I mean, what movie have you seen in recent history that managed to do very well, convey comedy with a hammer?
You know,
that would be Thor.
I think there was humor. There was humor in the Thor movies.
That's my point. There was a whole humorous plot line around the hammer trying to find its way to Thor across multiple dimensions.
But there needs, that was okay. But there needs to be just a little bit of balance. I mean, it's look how well the Batman Begins did, you know. And you've got all these movies now. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy is coming up. You look at the trailers for that, you know there's going to be humor in that. I mean, that's just rife with it. Not that's a bad thing, but there's got to be you got to have a little bit of balance. And again, with a guy named Ant-Man, whose basic power is just to grow big or grow small, you know, there's going to be enough inherent humor in that that you could try to do a darker movie with that or a more serious movie and not really lose much.
All right. So let's agree on a couple things here. First off, Whedon only directed one movie, but what a movie it was.
It was a great the movie. Power, I'm not just, I'm not.
No.
The power to.
He's directed all movies.
The power to grow big and small. All men have that. And come on. And come on. Who?
I was trying not to go in that direction.
And who does not want to
see... Me neither.
Who does not want to see an Ant-Man movie where the Ant-Man suit has nipples?
No one wants
that
to see
that.
That
would be me.
But probably you anybody know, else. Right. Although, you know, I'm sure that that type of humor, Dave, will come up in that movie. No matter who directs it, that humor will be there in some form. Yeah. There will be some manhood jokes. It's a requisite.
And I will be the first in line.
Like I said, there is so much inherent humor in that character already.
Right. So they need someone who can handle that humor well. And all of the directors they've looked to have showed prowess in that area of handling movies that deal with serious issues and serious things in a comedic way that doesn't seem cheesy over the top.
You know, when you're talking about manhood jokes, handling might be not the word you want to use. So.
Oh, for crap's sake.
Jesus.
Hey, you said it. I just pointed it out.
Dave, is there a gutter near you? Because you may want to check it, because I think your brain fell in there.
So finally, our last talking point of the evening, and it's a simple one, but it could be the longest one, is all of this stuff that's coming out, whether intentional or circumstantial, is it Marvel doing it on their own, or has the mouse spoken, and are they finally stepping in and taking control? And whose turn does it start? Ben?
I can't remember. Sure. So, first of all, from the comic book standpoint, I think it's definitely Marvel. I think that those decisions are theirs to make, and I doubt that Disney's really getting heavily involved in that. Maybe to request certain additional comics, but not necessarily to audit what comics they're going to run and what comics they're going to kill off. From the studio standpoint, are they making an influence from the toy lines? There probably is some level of influence. But again, Disney is I would say, fairly conservative. I don't think that they're necessarily going to do things that are going to hurt their brand. They're very careful, and they also listen to their fan base. I mean, a perfect example of that recently is Disney did not have any plans whatsoever of starting to release Star Wars related toys in their Disney stores and in amongst their Disney merchandising lines. But there was such a groundswell of demand for, you know, Princess Leia as a Disney princess that they've stepped up production on such toys, and you will soon see Leia as an official quote unquote Disney princess in the Disney stores in the near future and merchandising around.
Leia shop first.
John, you're interrupting again.
So is the mouse getting involved? I believe they are to an extent, but only to do good, only to influence their level of experience and positive influence to direct the brands to make smart decisions and in places where appropriate, conservative decisions, like not running toy lines that are not beneficial to them or costly to them, that promote movies that are of questionable nature, for instance.
John?
Well, if you look behind Stan Lee, you'll see the hand of a mouse going right up his butt and making his lips move.
Yeah, but that's always been the case.
And I apologize profusely to Mr. Lee for that comment, and I condemn myself for it. But nah, it's probably not that bad, but I'm sure they have an influence. I mean, they said that when Disney bought ABC, they said they wouldn't have an influence, and they've heavily influenced ABC's lineup and their commercials and their news. So, you know, this is par for the course.
I think, inject a question there? Are they doing so in a hurtful manner?
I was getting to that. So, I was going to say, I'm gonna take kind of Ben's side mostly, because I think Marvel is such a strong property and has such a personality to it, the corporation and the people that work there, and a history, that I think it's going to be very hard for the mouse to actually influence them like they have influenced other properties that they've bought. So for now, I will agree that right now their influence basically amounts to naught, and it's probably not a factor in some of the decisions. I wouldn't promise that for the future, as there's more integration between the two companies. Or if Marvel stumbles and they make a lot and they stop making as much money, like if they miss on one or two movies, I'm sure at that point somebody high up in the mouse will decide to use that as an advantage.
Perhaps. I mean, they came to their point of their high point in a fairly short period of time. And you have to ask yourself, is this a boom or is this a bubble? You know, can they keep up that momentum? And, you know, there's, you know, you go so high, you're bound to fall at some point. They did a little bit. They stumbled a little bit with Iron Man 2. But there's no reason that we couldn't potentially see them stumble again.
If I may add to that, there was an article on Cracked. I forget the writer, but it basically posited that superhero movies happen in a kind of boom and bust cycle. So you get that one superhero movie like Batman Begins that comes out and everybody's like, oh, you can make superhero movies and they can be awesome. And, you know, that movie came out and the director had a ton. Yeah, well, the director would have had a full autonomy at the beginning and you know, it was just a Hail Mary and they threw some money at a project and it did well. And so they go on with 2 and 3 of that franchise and maybe a couple of other franchises get started. And as they go along, more and more the studios start putting in more input as the properties are making more money, the studios start to want to protect their investments. And the more influence they get, the worse the movies get, the worse the storylines get, to the point where they kill off the entire genre. And then it has to start again, where somebody has to take a chance, but not interfere.
Perhaps. And for my money, I will continue to trust in Marvel Studios so long as Kevin Feige is still at the reins.
All right, gentlemen.
I'll give you that.
Sounds like we're agreeing on the last point, gentlemen. I don't know. I know it's not very debatable. Debatable.
So do we lose points for that?
All right. So I'm going to calculate the scores here.
John and Ben are tied, but Ben's beard.
It appears that the winner is Disney because they own everything. Oh wait.
They are the winners of everything. I mean, consider they now own Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, Indiana Jones. They own our childhoods, essentially. Yes. It's a surprise that, and really it's just because of the success of Hasbro that they don't own Transformers and G.I. Joe and various other
things.
Yet. Yes.
So I really think that the winner is our audience. They got to listen to an incredible debate this week. So
where was that? I must have missed that.
So I'm going to ask you, the audience, what you think. Who was the winner? Is it Ben or was it John? And you can cast your vote by tweet.
Or was it Dave?
Don't vote for Dave.
You can tweet the answer to us by vote for Ben is hashtag Marvel's just misunderstood. And a vote for Ben, vote for John is hashtag Marvel is evil. So vote. And let us know who you think the winner is.
Don't forget to vote for Ben's beard at hashtag beard owns everything.
Yes. The beard knows all.
All right. So do you gentlemen have any closing thoughts for this week?
Pudding.
Pudding.
How to Train Your Dragon starts this Friday.
Woo! 2.
Yes, How to Train Your Dragon 2. Yeah. Are there ponies in that?
Yes.
Are there ponies in that?
No.
I think that's dragons do overlap with the brony world, so there could potentially.
No, they don't.
No. There are dragons in My Little Pony. There are dragons in My Little Pony.
Yeah, that doesn't mean the two properties have any.
I didn't say the properties overlap. I'm just saying that there's technically
overlap
in the genres.
Dragons don't feature greatly in the brony universe.
There have been whole episodes
about it. This could go on for days, people. Days, I tell you.
Debate number 2.
So,
Dragons versus ponies.
And to reiterate.
Yeah, dragons can ponies can take out Transformers. I'm pretty sure they can handle dragons.
And to reiterate, our Stump the Geek question this week is who was the first major...
Is why are we still listening? Oh, I'm sorry.
Who was the first major character to find death in a Marvel comic book? Tweet your answers at us and hashtag Stump the Geek Speak, and we will pick a winner next week. So, until then, boys and girls, as always, don't let your cape caught in the door. Have a good week. Speaking of capes, you can tug on ours by joining the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, or Google+ at Superhero Speak. If you have any comments on my bad jokes, you can email me at dave@superheroespeak.com.
You can also subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, and various other channels. Or if you'd like to tease the beard of knowledge, you can email me at ben@superheroespeak.com.
We also occasionally rant about things on our website, superheroespeak.com. Or if you'd like to further discuss the prowess of Rainbow Dash versus anybody in the greater geek universe, you can email me at john@superheroespeak.com.
And don't forget to check out our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. companion show, Agents of Speak, which you can watch live most Tuesdays around 9 p.m. on our Google+ page or archived on our YouTube channel. Now let go of our cape.